Yo, good evening. Mr. Ryan Worley checking in. To all my Authentic Smile listeners and the blessed people in the world, I hope you guys have had an awesome Tuesday. My apologies for tapping in so late. It's been quite the long day for me. However, I have to stay true to what I'm doing, and I wanted to give you guys a really cool episode, a few readings out of one of my other books tailored towards marriage and relationships called The Sacred Marriage. The author is Gary Thomas, and this book is one of my most recent books I've purchased within the last year and a half. I have yet to finish it. However, I've read enough of it to pinpoint a few things that I want to talk about today and share with you guys. So if you guys don't mind, I just want to read a couple paragraphs with different emphasis on compromise and acceptance and loyalty. And then I'll give a small perspective on what I think about those things, obviously keeping the same formula. Without further ado, I'm going to start reading at the paragraph of compromise. So before I start reading from the book, Sacred Marriage by Gary Thomas, I want to share with you guys a quote about compromising. And it's more like a definition of what compromise means in this specific context of reading. Compromise is pretty much allowing someone to have their way for the right reasons. And that can be a form of saying, I love you. Allowing someone to have their way for the right reasons. And that can be a form of saying, I love you. So in marriage, that's huge. Compromise is probably one of the most important things in a relationship and in marriage that can help the marriage, help your bond, or hinder it. So the reading that I want to read is just a paragraph. It's not that lengthy. It just talks about some key points of what compromise is. And it gives a few different tones of what compromise can mean for your relationship and your marriage. So compromise. The second way we practice the spiritual discipline of fellowship within marriage is by learning to compromise. Sadly, the word compromise is seen as a dirty word by many in our society who view it as an attack on individualism. My wants, my life, and my choices. But virtually every relationship, if it is to continue and grow, must embody compromise in some way, shape, or form. There are no two perfectly fitting people with exactly the same wants and desires. So at some point in the relationship, each person must give up something or become something in order to become one. The goal in compromise is for two different people to become one. Allowing someone to have their way for the right reasons can be a form of saying, I love you. It's proof that we're willing to give ground for no other reason than that we value the ongoing relationship more than we value asserting our rights, preferences, or wishes. Compromise is the cement of fellowship. Many congregations have had to address the issue of their younger members' desire for contemporary worship in the church house. I'm gonna stop right there, guys. This book is really geared towards faith and spirituality in marriage. So you might hear some words like contemporary worship or traditional worship, or God or spiritual discipline, just to give you guys a heads up. So just to finish here. Without losing the traditional worship preferred by older members, some churches have opted to go with two services. Others have tried to combine liturgy and informality. Some have sold off the origin, and others have built a bigger origin, but occasionally leave it silent while someone plays a guitar. My apologies. Others have built a bigger organ but occasionally leave it silent while someone plays a guitar. Churches everywhere are learning the art of compromise, in the same way couples must learn to compromise over the mundane. Where do we celebrate the Christmas holiday? And the profound, how many children should we have, are just some questions of compromise via relationship, via marriage. For such compromise to work, there must be numerous, many funerals. We must choose to die to ourselves and to give ground, and conversely, not to gloat when ground is given to us. So in other words, guys, really quickly, my perspective of that reading is all about having that perspective of showing your spouse the respect, like I spoke about yesterday, giving the respect of boundaries and giving the respect of freedom. You know, we all deserve to kind of be our own selves and to do our own thing at times, especially when married. It's very important to get your own me time and then your bonding time together. And sometimes compromise is all that you have to do that. So it's something that as married folks and people who want to get married have to learn compromise. So in closing, the last part of the reading that I want to give to you guys is about acceptance and loyalty. And in this book, this is titled as the third discipline of fellowship in a marriage. And the last one that I just read about compromise is actually the second discipline in marriage that a married couple shall learn. And the reading goes as such. A third discipline of fellowship is learning to accept real people. So often, new members will attend a church and rave about the pastor's teaching, the worship leader's ability to cultivate the presence of God, and the friendliness of other church members. And then, a year or two later, when they've heard the pastor's best stories, grown bored with the worship leader's favorite songs, and are expected to invite others to come for lunch rather than be invited themselves, it's amazing how what was once the quote-unquote best church in the world is now quote-unquote a dead and dying body. This too mirrors what often happens in a marriage. The man whom the wife once thought of as confident is now seen as arrogant. The wife who attracted her husband with her quiet and gentle spirit is now seen as a weak woman unworthy of respect. In the flush of infatuation, dating couples often focus on what is right about the person, and then after marriage, all they begin to see is what is wrong about the person, even if nothing changed. After marriage, the perspective completely shifts from idealizing someone, which is imaging a perfect and untrue picture of who they are, to the sobering realization that the spouse is not the person they imagined them to be. Instead of receiving a knight in shining armor, they receive a green orc named Shrek, or a green ogre, I'm sorry, named Shrek, a man or woman full of their own problems, imperfections, and also sin. One of the most common complaints given to pastors and counselors is this: he's not who I thought he was. She's not who I thought she was. End quote. So that's some pretty heavy insight about marriage and how sacred marriage should be to us married folks and people in a relationship. You know, marriage is not a game, and it's very, very important to embrace certain disciplines, like this book is saying. What we talked about today was compromise and acceptance. Acceptance and loyalty, you know, through the good. To me, that means that through the good and the bad, we have to continue to compromise and give each other leeway to grow and to show ourselves that we are growing into the men and women that we want to be for ourselves personally, as well as growing into the husband and wives that we want to be in our marriages. And the last point that I want to make is that as we go through the process of growing into these beautiful, you know, people of marriage, we have to understand that, you know, the minute that you say I do, you marry the person for who they are, what they are, what they bring to the table, and it's all about growing together. So whatever your spouse is lacking, you should be able to pick up the slack, or talk about how you can support them in being the way that you would like them to kind of maneuver in the marriage that satisfies you, vice versa. Because it's nothing like a one-sided marriage when one person is screaming at the other person about what they wish they would do or how they want them to be. It should be a two-way street. You know, imperfections are real, and when you're married as a husband and wife, or wife and wife, husband and husband, it does not matter. When you're married in that kind of serious relationship, you have to understand that people are who they are, and the things that they cannot change, you should be wanting and accepting of helping them change something about themselves that will help them along the way in the future. And it may not be that one thing that you want them to change. They may not never change that part, but the idea is to spark the interest. So in conclusion to today's episode, I want to just leave you guys with this question. What if God designed marriage to make us holy more than to make us happy? What if God designed marriage to make us holy more than to make us happy? It's a question that kind of surfaced and come up in my mind on a deeper note. And I just want to leave you guys with that question. And for all my listeners out there, thank you guys for tuning in, and thank you guys for listening to yet another episode of Authentic Smile. Sorry again for tapping in so late. However, thank you guys again for tuning in, and I hope you guys really enjoyed today's segment. Until tomorrow, Mr. Ryan Worley signing out. Authentic Smile. Have a great night. And don't forget to pray first. Peace.